the love are hanging on me, push and shove. Possession is the motivation that is hanging up the goddamn nation. Looks like we always end up in a rut. Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what.
It's been a while since we've opened up with that fine piece of music. Compared to what? Oh, there's so much. Compared to what? What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. And it's almost like being in love. No, not quite. Oh, yeah, I was up early this morning. I had two medical appointments, one at 11. Another one at 1. When I finished the 11 o'clock at about noon, I took off to go get something to eat. I'd actually tried to eat earlier in the day, and I went and ordered something, and the cooks just totally destroyed it. It was so bad I couldn't eat it. I knew the waitress, the server. She took care of me, took it off the bill. I paid for nothing but coffee. And so when I got finished with this first doctor's thing, I had to go get something to eat. The traffic was backed up for 3-4 miles. It was unbelievable. Well, I've got a way to kind of cut through it and get around it, and I shortchanged it. I got there, got my food to eat, and the staff working at this Jack in the Box, I get this breakfast sandwich yet. I did not recognize a single person. The kid who took my order wasn't too swift, but boy, did they deliver. It was the most perfect breakfast sandwich that I've had, period, in that place, and they do a great job for me. So I finished that up, started heading for the doctor's office, and son of a gun, I mean, I only had like 2 miles to go. The traffic was jammed again. Got in there, got with my guy Kevin, got some things taken care of, got had a little discussion with some people, walked out of there with some meds that I did not have to pay for to compensate for all this insanity going on. Got back here, been busy today. Man, I'm beat. Glad to have you all here. Edge of Darkness, Jeff Bennett, on this 9th day of November. Over the past month or so, I have posted a wide series of headlines dealing with the issues within the banking industry in this country. I'm going to share with you just a couple of the headlines. I'm not going to spend a lot of time discussing what the articles were about. Customers to face increased bank closures as branches are closing up. Now, this particular article dealt specifically with California, but you've got to keep in mind that in certain cities in California, they've allowed so many druggies and homeless people to live all over the streets, and I'm sure that's got something to do with some of it. Another headline, Truist, Bank of America, Chase, U.S. Bank, and Wells Fargo direct deposit systems are down. Customers report issues with their banking services with direct deposit systems hit. Now, that direct deposit, that's when you get paid and they make the deposit directly into your bank account. Now, three of these banks, B of A, Chase, and U.S. Bank Systems, were down as a result of a direct deposit systems crash. Banking giants Truist, B of A, Chase, U.S. Bank, and Wells Fargo all faced outages, according to users. And the disruptions reportedly kicked off at about 8 p.m. Eastern time a week or so ago and appeared to have been resolved by Saturday. Direct deposits were reportedly not updating due to a delay in processing transactions through their automatic clearinghouse network, commonly used for electronic fund transfers and direct deposits. Wait a minute. Now we get down to another headline. Banks are shutting customers' accounts down over what they claim is fraud. In the banking world, it's a practice known as exiting or de-risking. It's what happens when a bank closes a customer account after flagging suspicious activity to crack down on fraud and other crimes? According to a November 5th New York Times report, it has led to an increasing number of consumers and small businesses losing their bank accounts without warning. Per the report, banks are required to submit a SAR, suspicious activity report, when they spot transactions or behavior that could violate the law, like unusually large cash transactions or wire transfers with banks in high-risk countries. Now, I've just shared a few of these things with you. There's a lot more that we've published over the last couple of months. Maybe 6 months. I don't know. It's insane. But we're going to take a portion of tonight's program and we're going to discuss some of these very issues, because it's quite interesting. Quite interesting. So, we are submitted this interesting piece called Why Banks Are Suddenly Closing Down Customer Accounts. Oh, let me tell you what. Before we get started with this, there was a thing going on in Phoenix right now, which I'm sure is going on in many other places. People's accounts. Now, there are some cards that you can acquire online which allow for direct deposits, allow you to take your funds out, but they're not true banks, as it were. And this one woman basically has been frozen out of her account. She can't deposit. She can't take anything out. It has totaled some several thousand dollars. Well, it turns out there was some fraud. But instead of contacting her, they just shut her down, cut her off from access to her money. She's trying to pay electric bills, buy food for the kids, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They finally got the thing cleared up. She got her funds back, et cetera. But it took a local television station in Phoenix, Arizona, who has a guy that goes after this kind of stuff to help straighten it out. And they did get it straightened out. So now let's talk about why these banks are suddenly closing down customer accounts. Oh, the reasons vary, but the scene that plays out is almost always the same. Bank customers get a letter in the mail saying that their institution is closing all of their checking and savings accounts. Their debit and credit cards are shuttered too. The explanation, if there is one, usually lacks any useful detail. Or maybe the customers don't see the letter or never get one at all. Instead, they just wake up one day and discover that their accounts no longer work, whether at the grocery store or the rental car counter or the ATM. When they call their bank, frantic representatives show concern at first, saying, "Oh, no. Oh, we're so sorry. We'll do whatever we can to fix this." But then comes the telltale pause and the shift in tone where they state, "Well, per your account agreement, we can close your account for any reason at any time." My friends, these situations are what banks refer to as exiting or de-risking. This isn't your standard boot for people who have bounced too many checks. Instead, a vast security apparatus is kicked into gear, beginning with regulators in Washington, trickling down to bank security managers, branch staff, eyeballing the customers. The goal, of course, is to crack down on fraud, terrorism, money laundering, human trafficking, you know, other crimes. Well, in the process, banks are evicting what appear to be an increasing number of individuals, families, small business owners. Often they don't have the faintest idea why their banks turned against them. But there's almost always red flags. Transactions that appear out of character, for example, that lead to the eviction. The algorithmically generated alerts are reviewed every day by human employees. I've never liked that term algorithmically. It reminded me of our former vice president, Al Gore. Banks, you see, won't generally say how often they're closing accounts this way, but they're not tracking how often they get it wrong. But federal data does offer some clues. By law, banks must file an SAR, a suspicious activity report, when they see transactions or behavior that might violate the law, like unexpectedly a large cash transaction or wire transfers with banks in high-risk countries. According to Thomas Reuters, banks filed over 1.8 million SARs in 2022, a 50% increase in just 2 years. And this year, the figure's on track to hit nearly 2 million. Multiple SARs often, though not always, lead to a customer's eviction. Federal laws have little to say about the trigger for account cancellations. Now, let me share with you an interesting example. Going to my bank, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, they got a new manager. The manager that I'd known for long got transferred to another bank, and I still go see her and have lunch with her occasionally. And the new manager, I went in and deposited a check for, $6,500 for a purchase from a client. She made the determination that I had never received a check from that particular client in the past. Well, first and foremost, I had. But that client owned, had several different bank accounts. This is the first time he had sent a check from this particular bank. So they raised a big stink. They were going to freeze that check for 2 weeks. I've never had a check frozen for 2 weeks. I've never had a check frozen for 2 days in this corporation. Kettle Marine. So I got a hold of a manager that had just left the bank. Kind of complained. I filed a little complaint with her. She made a phone call and got this crap straightened out real quick. There are years that we have deposited several millions of dollars into our account. Some years we've done 6 to 7 million. Never had a problem. Never had a check bounce. I even had a local client who was an attorney. He was a brother of a former secretary of mine. This guy would pay me between $100,000 and $200,000 in cash every time he made a purchase of gold. Every single time. I would go to the bank. I would deposit that cash. Not a single time was I ever asked for, are you dealing drugs? Where'd you get this cash? He's a client of mine. He's an attorney. We let it go at that. They never asked for his account number, never asked for his name, nothing. Oh, I'm sure that they reported that those large transactions, which usually were two a year. And so I'm sure somebody started looking at me. But they didn't see it often, and, you know, they saw that the money was being spent to acquire product and have it shipped, et cetera, et cetera. So, we're back to the trigger for account cancellations. So now a New York Times examination of over 500 cases of this dropping of customers by their banks, they interviewed with more than a dozen current and former bank industry insiders, and they illustrated the chaos and confusion that ensue when banks decide on their own to cut people off. Individuals can't pay their bills on time. Banks often take weeks to send them their balances. And when the institutions close their credit cards, my friends, your credit scores will suffer. And upon cancellation, small businesses often struggle to make payroll. And they then have to explain to vendors and partners that they don't have a bank account for the time being. as if the lack of explanation or recourse were not enough. Once customers have moved on, they don't know whether there's a black market somewhere on their permanent records that will cause a repeat episode at another bank. If the bank has filed an SAR, it is not legally allowed to tell you they've done so. And the federal government prosecutes only a small fraction of the people whom the banks document in their SARs. And so as a result, you don't know what you're under suspicion for. You kind of feel like you're walking around wearing this scarlet letter. That according to Caroline Potter, whose Citibank accounts were shut down abruptly last year. And so now we got banks facing ever more aggressive regulators and examiners, often a modicum of sympathy. Jerry Dubrowski, a spokesman for J.P. Morgan Chase, said that we want to build long-term relations with our clients, which is why accounts are closed only after appropriate review and consideration of the facts. Well, J.P. Morgan is the nation's largest bank with 80 million retail customers and 6 million small business ones, whose former account holders sent nearly 200 complaints to the Times. Dabrowski continued by saying, "We act in accordance with our compliance program, consistent with our regulatory obligations." Oh, we know that can be frustrating to clients, but we must follow those obligations. He then added that the vast majority of closures are correct, consistent with the regulatory obligations we are required to follow, and that the number of closed accounts was a fraction of the bank's overall business. Federal data, my friends, on the types of SARs that banks file showed that they worry about most. Last year, banks filing SARs tagged categories like suspicious checks, concern over the source of the funds, and a transaction with no apparent economic business or lawful purpose. Those are the ones most often, according to Reuters. To former bank employees, the bloodless data belie the havoc that banks wreak. There's no humanization to this of any kind. It's all just numbers on a screen. Aaron Ansari, who used to program the algorithms that flag suspicious activity, said it's not no. That is a single mom running a babysitting business. It's, hey, you've checked these boxes for a red flag. You're out. I'm going to share with you some profiles of a couple of customers who lost their accounts and analysis of what behavior may have spurred their banks to shun them. One was unusual or maybe usual cash deposits. Brian Delaney has owned several New York City bars over the decades. He and his business partner and general manager, Jennifer Maslanka, had a long-standing system for handling cash. Goes to the bank on Fridays and Mondays. As the card use has increased over the years, the size of the deposits has decreased. And to make the accounting easier on new staff who began working during the pandemic, Delaney and Maslanka often rounded up deposits down to the nearest thousand, kept the rest of the cash on hand to make change. This year, Chase closed the bar's account, plus personal checking and credit card accounts for Mr. Delaney, his wife, and Miss Lanka, giving them a handful of weeks to make other banking arrangements. Federal law requires depositors to fill out a form if they're depositing or withdrawing more than $10,000 in cash. That's something I've never had to do. Sometimes, in an attempt to avoid the gaze of the authorities, account holders will engage in structuring, making a series of transactions just under 10 grand. Oh, yeah, that's the giveaway. That's right on top of the reasons that banks begin to file suspicious activity reports. Dabrowski, the J.P. Morgan Chase spokesman, said the bar's series of deposits was indeed the problem. He said, "We must know our customers and monitor the transactions that flow through our bank. That includes instances where we see a pattern of cash deposits that are just below federal currency reporting thresholds." Delaney said he had not been engaged in structuring when depositing money in round numbers. All the cash had come from the bars, he said, and he reported his income, paid his taxes as he was supposed to. But the bank's explanation is especially maddening, given that he and Ms. Maslanka had filled out plenty of the $10,000 forms over the years. What's to gain from not filling it out, he said. What's the risk of filling it out? I've done both when deposits warranted that. But he said, I'm still so confused. You think I'm part of some underground mafia laundering money through my little beer bar? Pretty frustrating, isn't it, my friends? Then there's Carolyn Potter. Her trouble began on the phone. Because there were weird calls with a very mysterious customer care department. They kept asking for our tax returns. No one sees my tax returns except the IRS and my CPA. Well, Ms. Potter and her husband had moved to Idaho during the pandemic, selling their old house in New York and buying a new one. Some large chunks of money moved between their various Citibank accounts, the sale, the mortgage payoff, the down payment on the new abode, but nothing at the bank would not have seen before. And then suddenly, Citi shut down everything, including their checking accounts, their credit cards, and the couple's attempts to get an explanation led to nothing but frustration. Felt like there was this secretive department and anyone who wasn't in that department didn't even know about it. Her hunch was that Citi didn't like that her husband's income comes as direct deposits from the cannabis industry that recently acquired his employee. Is the company on some kind of do not engage list that Citi keeps? Citi declined to comment, even though Ms. Potter granted the bank permission to speak about the couple's accounts. Well, there's another one dealing with international wires, something I don't get involved with, something that I don't think is going to affect a single one of you folks, so I'm not going to bother to cover that one. But then there's unusual cash withdrawals. When Stephen Furker bought a house in New York in late 2016, he withdrew money from one of his Citi accounts in chunks of $7,000 to $12,000 to pay his contractor who requested cash payments. He also used a Citi credit card with a 12-month zero interest offer to buy things for the kitchen in 2017. But he was surprised when the bank called to ask why he was making repeated cash withdrawals. Each time he explained the situation, I assumed they were calling to make sure someone was not stealing my money, and I was glad that they had called. But I never gave it two thoughts until they threw me out. Citi declined to comment. Mr. Furker was aware of banks' wariness of large transactions and round numbers, but he was taking out his own money and immediately giving it to a contractor doing visible work. Cash is legal tender in this country. I understand that people hide their income, but I figured that was none of my business. It's his business. As is the pattern, the Dear John letter from the bank offered no explanation. But he went into the branch. The frustrated manager said more than he was supposed to. The answer was, don't ask me. Ask the computer that flagged you. Of course, then there's other things, criminal history. We can get into that. Community loan pools. It just goes on and on and on, the list on this stuff. So you begin to see some of the excuses that the banks are using for all of this. Is it not frustrating, my friends? Is it not frustrating? It's unbelievable. Simply unbelievable. So, all I can say is be forewarned. Be very careful how you're conducting business with your cash. And it is your cash. Okay? All right, now, I got to pull Michael in here for just a second. I hope you're there, Michael. I have had more than my share of things to drink this afternoon. And unfortunately, it means I need to go down the hall and see Kim for just a moment. So if you would do me a favor and let me dance with Kim, go ahead, cut a commercial in there if you want to as well. I'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. And then we're going to ask you to stop drinking the Kool-Aid.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
I just love Dancing with Kim. Do you folks even have any clue what the hell I'm talking about when I talk about Dancing with Kim? Kim Novak in the movie Picnic, when she's out dancing with William Holden. What a scene. What a scene. Well, anyways, I share with you before the break, it's time to stop drinking the political Kool-Aid, people. What is today? Thursday? Two nights ago was a bunch of elections that took place around this country. What a joke. We got to face it. Politics have entered a new stage, the television stage. Instead of long-winded public debates, the people want capsule slogans. Time for a change. The mess in Washington. More bang for the buck. Punchlines. Glamour. That quote is from a 1957 movie entitled A Face in the Cloud. We are, my friends, 1 year out from the 2024 presidential election. And as usual, the American people remain eager to be persuaded that a new president of the White House can solve the problems that plague us. And yet, my friends, what is being staged is not an election. It's a con game, a scam, a grift, a hustle, a bunko, a swindle, a flim-flam, a gaffle, and a bamboozle. And of course, we the people are nothing more than marks, suckers, stooges, mugs, rubes, gulls. We're being duped into believing that this mockery of a choice between two candidates who were equally unfit for office actually translates to having some say in how the government is run. And yet, to the contrary, this particular con game is part of a long-running, elaborate scam to keep the deep state in power and leave the populace deluded, distracted, and incapable of demanding accountability, transparency, and frankly, a decency from the government and its cohorts. Leave the populace deluded, distracted, and incapable. Incapable of not just demanding accountability, I think the majority of the populace is just frankly incapable, period. Politics has become nothing more than entertainment. A heavily scripted, tightly choreographed, star-studded, ratings-driven, mass-marketed, costly exercise in how to sell a product. In this case, a presidential candidate, selling it to dazzled consumers who will choose image over substance almost every single time. And everything we continue to read keeps saying it's going to be Joey and Trump. Trump's lawsuit cases are not going all that well. They're doing all they can to expand and explode everything he's been involved with. But the media and the courts seem to be going out of their way to ignore the things that Joey and his son Hunter have been involved with. And more the proof is coming out. I've made no bones about it. I was never a great fan of Trump's. Yes, he did some things that were, I believe, worthwhile, beneficial. The things that he did that were worthwhile and beneficial were almost instantaneously destroyed because Joe Biden was instructed to do so. Keep in mind, this year's presidential, I call it erection, much like every other erection in recent years, is what historian Daniel Boorstin referred to as a pseudo-event. It's manufactured, contrived, confected, and devoid of any intrinsic value save the value of being advertised. It's all the end result of a culture that is moving away from substance toward sensationalism in an era of mass media. As author Noam Chomsky rightly observed, it is important to bear in mind that political campaigns are designed by the same people who sell toothpaste and cars. In other words, my friends, we're being sold a carefully crafted product by a moneyed elite who are masters in the art of making the public believe that they need exactly what is being sold to them. Whether it's the latest high-tech gadget, the hottest toy, or the most charismatic politician. You see, politics is a reality show. That's America's favorite form of entertainment. Oh, yeah. What do they got? These stupid television shows they've got on there with the trying to get the guy to get her with the woman and who's one you're going to choose to get married to, or forget it. It's garbage. All of this stuff today, these forms of entertainment, they're dominated by money and profit, imagery and spin, hype and personality, all of which is guaranteed to ensure that nothing in the way of real truth ever reaches the populace. I mean, after all, who gives a damn about police shootings and drone killings and SWAT team raids, asset forfeiture schemes, private prisons, school-to-prison pipelines, over-criminalization, censorship, or any of the other evils that plague our nation when you can be sucked into an alternative reality so emotionally charged and entertaining as to make you forget that you live in a police state? But make no mistake, my friends, Americans only think that they're choosing the next president. In truth, however, they're engaging in the illusion of participation, culminating in the reassurance ritual of voting. It's merely just another blue pill, a manufactured reality conjured up by the Matrix in order to keep the dumbed-down populace compliant and convinced that their vote counts and they will still have some influence over the political process. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid, America. Because this nation is drowning in debt. It's crippled by a slowing economy. It's overrun by militarized police, swarmed with surveillance, besieged by endless wars and a military-industrial complex intent on starting and getting involved with new ones. And all of this is riddled with corrupt politicians at every level of government. And if we haven't figured that out by now, we're screwed, we're blued, we're tattooed. And all the while, we continue to argue over which corporate puppet will be given the honor of stealing our money or invading our privacy, abusing our trust, undermining our freedoms, and shackling us with debt and misery for years to come. You know, it's interesting that I bring that business up, shackling us with debt. About an hour and a half ago, I was standing in my garage, and I came across a piece of paper that I'd located in my files. And it was a piece that was written in late 60s, maybe 70s, maybe 80s. I don't have it with me. And at that time, they talked about our national debt reaching a $3 billion mark. $3 billion? That's chump change compared to what we're facing in this country today. We're into the trillions. So keep this in mind, that nothing taking place on any, erection day will alleviate the suffering of the American people. You understand my continued use of the term erection. We're getting screwed. Gee, I hope I woke you up with that one. Because you see, the government, as we have come to know it, corrupt, bloated, and controlled by big money corporations, lobbyists, special interest groups, they're going to remain unchanged. And we, the peeps, will be overtaxed, overpoliced, overburdened by big government, underrepresented, if represented at all, by those who should speak for us, and yet we're blissfully ignorant of the prison walls closing in around us. Hence, we will continue to trudge along the path of misery. Corporate greed, my friends, will continue to call the shots in this nation's capital, while our erected representatives will grow richer and the people poorer. And elections will continue to be driven by war chests and corporate benefactors rather than such values as honesty, integrity, public service. Just consider, it's estimated that more than $10 billion will be spent on the elections this coming year. Yet not one dime of that money will actually help the average American in their day-to-day struggles to just get by. And the military-industrial complex will continue to bleed us dry. Since 9/11, we've spent more than $8 trillion being involved in waging wars abroad. And although the U.S. constitutes barely 5% of the world's population, we boast almost 40% of the world's total military expenditures, spending more on the military than the next 10 biggest spending nations combined. So let's see, what are we involved with now? We're involved with Ukraine. We've actually sent military troops over there to assist in their battles. Now we've got the issues going on with the other nonsense in the Middle East. Hamas, Palestine, Israel. Oh, Israel's agreed to take 4 days off to allow some people to be able to get away and go do their thing. What the hell is all of this? They're willing to take 4 days off? They think the enemy's going to take 4 days off? They've all become our enemy as far as I'm concerned. But we are our own worst enemy because we continue to fund all of this and stick our nose in all of this. And yet we have America's military might is spread thin. But the war drums continue to sound as the Pentagon polices the rest of the world with counter-terror activities in 85 countries, people. Simple terms. Americans should be mad as hell and not willing to take it anymore. We've got politicians living like kings, and they're chauffeured around in limousines, flying in private jets, eating gourmet meals, all paid for by you and I, the American taxpayer. These politicians are far removed from those they represent. Such a luxurious lifestyle makes it difficult to identify with the little guy, the roofers, the plumbers, the auto mechanics, the blue-collar workers who live from paycheck to paycheck. And we're the ones that keep the country running with our hard-earned dollars and the sweat of our own brows. What do these politicians do? Not a damn thing. No, conveniently, politicians only seem to remember their constituents in the months leading up to an erection. And yet we the people continue to take the abuse, the neglect, the corruption, the lies. No, we make excuses for the shoddy treatment. We cover up for them when they cheat on us. And we keep hoping that if we just stick with them long enough, eventually they'll come around and they'll treat us right. People get the damn government we deserve. No matter who wins the presidential election next year, it's a sure bet that the losers will be the American people. We always are. As political science professor Gene Sharp noted in starker terms, dictators are not in the business of allowing elections that could remove them from their thrones. The establishment, the shadow government and its corporate partners that really run the show. Oh, my friends, they pull the strings. They dictate the policies. No matter who occupies the oral office, they're not going to allow anyone to take office who will unravel their power structures. Those who have attempted to do so in the past have been effectively put out of commission. So what's the solution to this blatant display of imperial elitism disguising itself as a populist exercise in representative government? What's the solution? Stop playing the game. Stop supporting the system, because the system ain't supporting you. Stop defending this insanity, America. Washington thrives on money, so stop giving him your money. Stop throwing your hard-earned dollars away on politicians and super PACs who view you as nothing more than a means to an end. A means to your end. No, I'll not make the comment I thought about. No, there's countless worthy grassroots organizations and nonprofits working in your community to address the real needs, like injustice, poverty, homelessness, etc. Find them, support them. You'll see change that you really can believe in your own backyard. Politicians depend on votes, my friends. Stop giving them your vote unless they have a proven track record of listening to their constituents, abiding by their wishes, working hard to earn and keep their trust. I've often stated that I don't think there's five people in a combination of the House or the Senate that I would seriously consider voting for. It's a joke. You've got to stop buying into the lie that your vote matters. Because the only thing you're accomplishing by taking part in this reassurance ritual of voting is sustaining the illusion that we have a democratic republic. Oh, there's those two words in the same sentence. Democratic republic. My friends, what we have is a dictatorship. Or as political scientists Martin Gillens and Benjamin Page more accurately term it, we are suffering from an economic elite domination. A healthy representative government is hard work. But it takes a citizenry. That means you and I that are informed about the issues, educated about how the government operates, and willing to make the sacrifices necessary to stay involved, whether that means foregoing Monday night football in order to attend a city council meeting, or risking arrest by picketing in front of a politician's office. When's the last time you went to a school board meeting? You own your house? You're paying for, you know, unless you live in Sun City, Arizona, which is a completely retirement center, no young people allowed, no schools allowed. When's the last time you went to a school board meeting? Your taxes are paying for it. You've got every right and responsibility to be there, to participate, to make the proper statements heard. All of this takes a citizenry willing to do more than just sitting around bitching and complaining. We have to act, my friends. We have to act responsibly. And we've got to keep in mind that the duties of citizenship extend beyond the act of voting. As Justice John Josephus Grant warned in the 1943 film, A Stranger in Town, he said, as citizens, we carry a burning responsibility. It means that when we elect men to public office, we cannot do it as lightly as we flip a coin. It means that after we've elected them, we cannot sit back and say, our job is done. What they do now doesn't concern us. That philosophy of indifference is what the enemies of decent government want. If we allow them to have their way to grow strong and vicious, then the heroic struggle which welded thousands of lovely towns like this into a great nation means nothing. Then we're not citizens. We are traitors. And the great liberty by which we live has been bought with blood. The kind of government we get is the kind of government we want. Government of the people, by the people, and for the people can mean any kind of government. It's our duty to make it mean only one kind. Uncorrupted, free, and united. I will admit to you that I have chosen, as I've gone along, to alter several words in this commentary. John Whitehead is the author. My personal opinion is writing is getting better and better and better. This is one of the most profound, simplified pieces that he's written that anyone can understand. The mess in Washington, more bang for a buck. Time for a change, people. Quit wasting your time going to the polls. It's a joke. Oh, there may be specific issues and reasons for going to a polls. don't vote for one because you like him better than the other one. That's a losing proposition. There may be issues that are worth voting for. Bond issues, things of that nature. We've had massive bond issues on our voting in Arizona this year. School districts who need the funding to build new schools because the population is growing so unbelievable. The new homes that are being built, people coming in from out of state, they're moving in from Texas, they're moving in from California, God knows how many other places. They're going to need new schools, except for one thing. The public school system ain't going to cut the mustard. It's time that parents begin to take a degree of responsibility on the direction that their children are going to be led. Metropolis.cafe is one of my websites that covers those areas in depth. It's time, people. We've got to stop doing things the way we've been doing it because it ain't cutting the mustard. Losing propositions. We can't afford to continue to do all that stuff. I have to answer that email. No, I can't do that. I'll have to answer. My friend Frank, I just got your email. I just saw it. I unfortunately cannot do that. I don't do debit. I don't do credit. Stopped doing those years ago for reasons because they're going to hit me with fees and the whole nine yards. Anyway, side issue. Sorry about that, folks. I hope that this program, and specifically our commentary about stop drinking the political Kool-Aid, will give you some guidance, some things to think about. I know it's easier to say, hey, it's voting day, let's just get up and go cast our vote. Our votes have not done one damn thing. Not one thing that has benefited we the people in many, 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 many years and decades. Think about that. You've got to think about it. I've frankly not voted for an individual for a lot of years. Oh, I get the things in the mail. Hey, go ahead and cast your vote by mail. I never signed up to do that. Never. When I would vote, I would go into the polling and do what I had to do. I've not voted for a president in years because I'm not tolerant of either one of them. I'm not voting for one because I like them better than the other or because I like the other one less than I do them. It's not the people, because I've seen what's been going on. We keep voting the same kind of people in over and over and over. And the results suck. It's nearly time for me to go. I want to thank you for being here. Today's Thursday. Maggie will be back in this time slot tomorrow. Don't cut her a new one. Tune in. Okay? I'll be back next Tuesday. Have some announcements. Getting ready to start our new programming slot on the 5th of December. I'll be joining you several hours earlier for a two-hour slot. Hope you'll join us. And we'll talk more about it next week, okay? How are we doing with our closing music, my friend? I've lost track when we started. I think it's kind of a short piece. I don't know. Let's try. No, we're 35, 40 seconds away. Hey, son of a gun. Hey, I'm glad I got to dance with Kim. When I get off the air, I got to change clothes real quick, get the heck out of here. I unfortunately have to go have dinner with my daughter. Don't get me started with that routine. Please don't get me started with that routine. I'm not happy about it. It's the pits. Oh, my goodness gracious. Crazy stuff. Look, you guys have a good weekend. Lord willing, I'll be back with you on Tuesday. I expect to be. Mentally, I'm doing pretty damn well tonight. Best I've done in a while. I guess I got a lot accomplished today. So thanks for being with us. And as we try to close this program each and every night, without apology, I am Jeffrey Bennett.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.